This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Ready to take on this Wednesday? Come on. Man up. Here's the truth. It's like if you're not ready to take on the day, nobody really gives a shit. So you're going to have to anyway, right? I mean, my buddy, we're not sympathetic.
No, I mean, I guess you'll find us ahead.
Neither is the day, though.
Nobody's going to wait for you. Nobody's going to be looking behind to say, hey, catch up. No.
The sun will rise and the sun will set.
Yeah. There's Sia. By the way, that's said by Sia this morning. The sun will rise, the sun will set. Get on with it.
Just got to get on with it.
It's a very dog-eat-dog approach to the morning, guys. I think we should all help each other.
Yes, no. Let's link hands and sing Kumbaya.
That's perfect.
That's way more spiritual
than
that.
Can we sleep for like 2 more hours, then link hands?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm. All right, we'll be back in 2 hours, everybody. Thanks
guys.
Very much.
Here we go.
See you later. 10 after 6, we've got Ben Karpinski here. We've got Gord Laws. We've got Sia Sangweni. We've got Mabali Molloy. And we've got Amanda Romberg. And we're all here because of you. Yes, we gather here every morning like a community without a church.
Oh. Like a thing that routinely gathers in the morning.
to keep you company, to help you start your day, to get into all the big things that are going on, talk about some of the stuff you care about, hopefully make you laugh, you know, that kind of crap.
Just want to take a moment up front to acknowledge your t-shirt, Gareth.
Oh, yeah?
That is a hell of a thing, that t-shirt.
Tell me what the problem is or what you think is funny about it.
For the listeners, is bright blue.
Yes.
And it is emblazoned on the front with the stars and the stripes.
Yes.
And the word in big serif capital letters, BELIEVE, across the chest.
Right. It's in solidarity with those people in New York and that stupid asshole who drove into them in downtown traffic.
You look like Andy Samberg in that thing where he's like Evel Knievel. What was that thing called?
Oh, right. Yeah, it is a little bit Evel Knievelish.
Yeah.
But it's, look, I'm pissed off. I woke up this morning to the news about this terror attack in New York. Apparently some guy just drove a car into a bunch of people, which is what happened in southern France not so long ago.
And Barcelona.
This is the new thing. And Barcelona, correct. And this seems to be the new modus operandi for people who want everybody to stop what they're doing and pay attention to their ideology. As if we don't all have better things to do, like shop for Christmas presents and, you know, collect sneakers and go outside and look at the clouds and, I don't know, make love to our girlfriends, whatever it might
be. Well, just respect our girlfriends.
Listen to their opinion and give them equal opportunity in a safe environment.
Right. God forbid we should not be paying full attention to these guys, because otherwise they'll drive a truck or a bus or a car or something into you and me and everyone else. Because we're just packets of meat that are there for them to use in their big game of please pay attention to me because I come from the shittest neighborhood on earth.
It's also like not a great advert in unto itself of like, damn it, they won't embrace our religion. Make them embrace it by showing them the effectiveness with which we murder.
Yeah.
Well, that's how religion was since the Dark Ages.
That's really their only default setting when it comes to not being taken seriously, is then they must hurt.
Yeah. Damn it, guys, we gave you every opportunity to see how rad and cool this religion is. Now we're killing people. Like,
That was pretty much the Crusades, right? They didn't, ride into villages with candy.
Yeah.
They raided with swords.
They butchered fire. People.
Candy.
Yeah.
The Spanish Inquisition.
Exactly.
Well, same job.
That wasn't paella and dancing. That was very much
the whole
much
of
hurt.
South America. Do you know that what disease didn't kill, the sword did? Mm. And gunpowder
did. And the flame.
Yeah. I mean, there were just...
That couldn't have been great for tourism back in those days.
Millions of people were massacred down to a small root population of a couple of hundred thousand. By mostly disease, because these conquistadors arrived in South America with chock full of European and Asian diseases.
Yeah.
Which the local population then caught, died off in their droves, and the ones that were left were put to the sword.
Yeah.
Unless they converted. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if you tell me I have to convert or I will die, I'll just convert. I mean, I could care less. It doesn't mean I'm actually going to feel anything inside. I know lots of people died doing this and they stood for their principles and, you know, I believe in whatever, whether it was because you were a Christian, a Jew, and there weren't really Muslims in 200 AD. But let's say any time after that, any other religion, just pretend. If anyone comes into your village in 2000s and you have to worry about them saying, convert or die, just pretend to convert. And then go back once they've left.
Yeah, do the thing. Do whatever the thing is. Hold up the candle. Turn it in a circle. That.
In movies, whenever I see those movies of like these horrible medieval things where people like they hold a flaming sort of torch to someone's face and they say, "You must convert, witch." The witch must go, "Okay." Yeah. Why does she go, "Never"?
Great idea. With you, converted.
Just convert. Yeah, you're
what
like,
am I not allowed to
all
eat?
All right, I believe the same made-up bullshit you believe. Now you can leave me alone. I can carry on with my life.
So no
would you like
thing?
Vegetables or meat?
When are my holidays? Just,
yeah.
Yeah,
just tell me which days.
They mark them off in the calendar now.
Right.
Can you teach me your songs? But like, my understanding with the conquistadors was that they like arrived in South America. Yeah. They checked it out. They were like, okay, cool. They kicked a little bit of highly localized ass, and they were like, right, there's people in these hills. So like, we need more boats. So send a few guys back and say, look, we found the new world. It's full of people. It's full of riches. We need loads of dudes. There's going to be widespread fighting. But the South American tribal people, they had this massive tradition of like runners and torchlighters. So you could spread information throughout the mountains by having like one dude whose job is to run this one 10K stretch like super fast.
And his name was Juan Varel.
He was fast.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm sure that was exactly his name. And then he would get to the next guy and that like you could really get information over the hills quickly like that. And the diseases that they brought literally spread so fast. So by the time they got inland over the mountains and the hills, everyone was like already dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just found like whole towns of people just dead.
Yeah.
So like Pompeii.
Because the one dude that came to warn them about the guys that were coming
brought all this disease.
Had the thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we don't even need to look at how similar crap went down here on this continent and in Southeast Asia and pretty much everywhere that you know, people decided it's time to spread our ideology, our philosophy.
And this cool metaphorical disease that did exactly the same thing. Literal one and a real one.
Yep.
I mean,
time to spread our ideology also read as time to control people.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's whether it's a government, whether it's a religion, there are so many people out there who are so busy trying to control the rest of us. And I don't know that we need them at all. History has shown that we can carry on pretty much happily and without incident if we just ignore these people and don't let them into our lives.
Do you think we can govern ourselves?
Well, this is an interesting discussion, right? And I want to hear what you think of this because more and more people are talking about how in South Africa we have a really shitty, dysfunctional government. We don't have many options. None of the political parties really turn anyone on.
Mm-hmm.
Something about all of them is annoying and frustrating. Plus, we all know what game they're in. They're in the game of not having to work. They're in the game of, I'll just talk and you pay me to talk and I'll pretend to be doing something for you. And you pay me your taxes.
So how does it work with the talking and then getting paid and then...
I'll just talk as a politician. I'll just blah, 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 sit in subcommittees, blah, blah, blah. It's not like any... They don't lift anything and move it. They don't... make anything with their hands. They don't knock on your door at 6 a.m. and go, "Hi, it's the government. We've brought your breakfast." They do nothing. Nothing useful to you that can't be done by private corporations that you'd be willing to pay money to.
So aside from taking a whack of your money every year or so and every time you purchase anything, we literally are already self-governing, kind of.
Well, I think we can be more so. I reckon if we declare little republics all over, there's very little government can do to bring us back into line. They can't send the military into every one of these little republics. So let's say Sia and six of his neighbors decide, all right, we're going to boom off this area.
Oh, that's how small you envision
this. It's an enclave, yeah. And in order, you don't need passports and things because really we don't need any of that documentation. That's also a way for government to get money out of us.
Okay.
Every time I enter Sia's little enclave, I need to have his permission because he is a representative of only one of the six families that live in that little enclave. And if I want to go in, if Sia's given me permission, it's cool. If for some reason I get out of control and burn down Sia's house. The other five people in the enclave will make sure I never come back there again. But we can administer these things on a low level, like families. Mm. You know, family can be administered. Some people administer them better than others. But you don't need an overarching hierarchical system where we send people to a big building to decide on laws that none of us want to follow. I mean, the basic rule is we can all coexist in these small enclaves. We can get on with it. We can all share things like roads and shops, and we'll pay a contribution to building a little bit further than just outside our house. That's easy to do. We can find ways to do that. We don't need a government.
Do you think that everyone in Sia's enclave must have an opportunity to be the person in charge?
Yeah.
Like on a rotational basis? Because the problem with a leader is when it starts going to their head, and then the resentment starts building up from the followers of the leader, blah, blah, blah. That's where the problems start.
And the leader doesn't really have power to decide the fate of all the people in the enclave. In other words, the leader, it's not a tribal and hierarchical thing. It's like the leader is really only there to do the stuff that the rest of them decide. In other words, the leader is a servant position. No one really wants it. You may have administrative authority in terms of, well, we've decided we're going to plant a cactus at the entrance, and everybody goes, oh, a cactus, not a cactus. Then they vote him out, and he's no longer the leader. But when it comes to deciding that, then he's the one who has to plant the cactus. So it's not a fun job where you just get to dress up and cut ribbons and be important and have a title.
But what if the economy of Sears Enclave is strong, and so they provide employment for a neighboring enclave who can bring cacti and plant them, and then are given trinkets and gifts in order to...
Don't we see how this works? Because then if Sears Enclave is economically successful and they then need the services of a much poorer enclave, they will transfer some of their wealth for the services of that enclave, and that enclave will become richer.
Can I apply for residency of your enclaves? Yeah.
I don't know why, but as soon as we started on this topic of like these mini societies and how it can just be like a street, I thought of Wisteria Lane and Desperate Housewives and how messy those four Kugels were.
Of course they were, but that's also... Listen, there are going to be problems, but I would rather deal with them at a local level than have some person who is extracting... What, half of the money you make every year so that they can make themselves important and fly around the world and talk to other people who've made themselves important in their areas? Bullshit.
Very funny if you go to visit your, like, after a while, you go visit your buddy Felix at, like, Broadacres or Cedar or whatever. Yeah. And, like, you get to the front and then there's, like, heads on spikes and this, like, Joshua Dore looking 50-year-old Joshua Dore looking dude. He comes with his golf cart, which has got, like, skulls on the four posts. The blood of his enemies painted across his chest. And he's like,
we had war with the neighboring enclave.
This is not. Now, Leonard Land, and you will address us.
That's when you turn your car around and you say, sorry, I'm lost. Look, my bad.
As much as you say all of this, Gareth, and you may propose this idea, I don't think it's that far off and it doesn't sound too crazy. I was at Stain City earlier this week.
That's an enclave.
I swear, as soon as I drove in there, I thought if there was ever like a virus that broke out.
You'd want to be there.
You know, bacteria that kills off humanity. I genuinely think someone at the major little office there will go, cool, probably Carolyn, just go, cool, yeah, let's close
Shut
it off.
Shut this shit down.
No close one coming all in, the gates. No one going
right,
out.
Exactly.
Because they now have a school that's going to be open next week.
They'll build a medical center. You see, this is the point. Oh. It's like at a local level, and of course, it's going to be the rich people first, because they're thinking about themselves. They want to close themselves off, but eventually, this will filter down. You know, we always talk about being a country of Ubuntu and community and all of this stuff. And we do have, whether it's rich or poor people, an innate sense of community, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, don't be hypocritical and say, oh, well, it's only rich people who'll do this. Because poor people will do it too. And eventually, they'll build up their community to be at the same level as the others.
Yeah,
there's a huge sense of community in a lot of impoverished areas. I mean, you're constantly hearing stories about, you know, these older women who are growing vegetables and then they feed like neighbors' children and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they look after the children of five different houses because those parents have either died or they're working in town or there's something. So you do have this. And it's not about, I mean, that you could argue that the poverty-stricken people who have enough space to grow vegetables have a better life than the rich people in their compound who maybe don't get those fresh things. You could argue that the people out in the rural areas have freedom of movement, which the people in the cities don't. Yeah, lots of arguments you could bring into this, but I don't want us to do an us and them on this. What I'm saying is, if you find a bunch of like-minded people, start buying up the property in a certain area. No, really. This, if you can all get together, start your own, and I imagine that these little enclaves will be self-sustaining, that they'll be friendly, that they're not going to be exclusionary. In other words, if you've got people in there that you know, you'll be able to get in and out. I mean, we already have to show our ID and our driver's license and our... I have to give them a fingerprint and a blood test and a thousand things to get into half of these places. But this is the way to go. Look at how smooth the management of those is, as opposed to the rocky, bumpy management we get from government. I'm telling you, smaller is better.
So all we have to do this week is to completely reorganize society.
Yeah.
It's easy. Break away into tiny little republics.
Isn't it easy?
I'm going to join the Republic of Sierra.
It sounds like his enclave is the one to be in.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Well, no. if you arrive with a cactus, you'd probably be able to, you know, get the hierarchy.
Yeah, you have to get into the cactus barter system. But I was thinking about the Stain City enclave and the virus destroying humanity. All well and good until Tiffany arrives back late from the jewel and she's barred at the gate and she's like, she's been at Vaca Mata. Yeah, Hazel and Joel are like, Tiffany, you gotta let her in. Let her in. And it's
does that sound like a plot of a movie all of a sudden? Now, like, Tiffany has to survive in Alex or
and
something.
Then all the children, they form a nomadic cult called the Children of Stain, who like were locked out for not being in by curfew, and then they start roaming and plundering and stuff, and one day come back and take back Stain City.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Well, basically, they go back, they regroup at Billy the Bums, where the booze has gone south.
Yeah.
And now they're mutating.
Gord is going to write screenplays. We've discovered his real calling.
Okay, Alex, we got a new Billy.
And there are a couple of openings.
We're going to have a council meeting and some shots.
There's some openings in Hollywood lately, so you might just get a job as a screenwriter if you want it.
Yeah.
Apparently there have been openings in Hollywood for quite a while, which is what makes it such a fun place to work.
You're not a pederast or a predator of women, so you should be all right.
You're also not a pedophile, which is extremely important.
Yes. He doesn't have Hollywood fame yet, guys.
Yes, if I had the fame and the money, I would obviously have to look into it. But for now, I'm quite a well-adjusted guy.
Jeez, these Kevin Spacey jokes that are going around are fantastic. Like people posting pictures of vans with free candy and saying, Kevin Spacey's coming to town. It's nasty. Yeah. And it's amazing. You could get into that. We'll talk about it later. We've also got Karen Morn from ENCA talking to us after 7. She was... paying very, very close attention to the Henry von Bredaar case, which, of course, we've been fascinated with from day one. We've been the leading champions of putting this out into the news. And this morning, Karen's got something. We really have.
It's weird that badge is honor.
Karen will tell us what Henry's testimony was yesterday in court, because we didn't get to see it. And she was listening to the audio as it happened. She was compiling her own reports. So Karen Morn from ENCA will join us just after 7 for a look at that stuff.
Did we get any further with the dude that died in the ceiling?
No.
Not yet, no.
Did you record the song we wrote?
No.
Gareth.
I've given up on that manufactured radio crap. If it doesn't happen live on our show, it doesn't happen. I decided, because I had it in my bag from last week when we wrote it down.
Highly disappointed.
Oh,
highly disappointed. I had expectations that were not met. You are not allowed in the enclave anymore, Gareth.
See, that kind of stuff gets you on the street.
Banishment from the enclave.
There aren't any updates of the guy.
Not that I've heard of. And we don't really know much of an identity to research or find out as well. But I'll keep my eye out there.
Well, I mean, it's still a very bizarre story, right?
Freaking huge.
Some guy is up in the...
like, a body was found
while
out in the
nurse went to fetch the new sheets. came back and the dude was
really,
gone.
This is just for Gord because no one else cares anymore. We've all moved on. But
I was disappointed because you were recording a song.
He's here a week later. Well, I had important things to do. Let's go. So this is the words provided by Gord Laws, with story provided by Sia Sangweni, vocals Gareth Cliff, instrumentation Mabali Moloi.
What is happening here? Something's going on, it's not quite clear. There's a flicker in the lights. We think that there's a body, we hope we're not right. Oh, what a feeling when you perish in the ceiling. Oh, we're still reeling from the stench that's in the ceiling. The room is so hot. Something stinging up the neighborhood. The nurse has climbed the walls. Something is stuck and the vent is very small. Oh, the paint is peeling from the body in the ceiling. Jesus Christ, we're all kneeling, cause the smell is unappealing.
So satisfying. Yeah. I've been waiting a whole week.
I was either going to wait for you, which would have meant a week, and the story's really gone away like the smell has.
Or has it really?
Done it live.
But
oh,
now the beauty
something?
Of our music has lasted forever.
I know. Well done, Gord.
Breaking news.
I'm glad we got
can
to
you
do
sing
it.
Beautifully, Gareth.
Thank you.
I can give you updates after 7 on the story. Mm-hmm. Remember, the body has been identified and members of the family are speaking out.
Oh, all right. So okay. There's...
After 7.
But wait, there's more.
You see, I was the tenacious journalist that refused to let the trail run cold on this
Look
story.
At you,
but that's exactly what happened after the Frambodar case. We kept going, and then eventually, okay, cool, let's take us go to court.
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying get out of here for real.
All right. Here are the 5 things you need to know. Brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. You can download their rewards app and you can start earning slices for every visit and bonus slices for every rand spent. To unlock even more rewards, move from apprentice to maestro status by visiting their stores more often, like Gord Laws does.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Most important stories, 5 of them for you to start your day so that you are not left behind. When everybody else gets to the office today and says, oh, my God, did you hear? You can go, yep. So the first thing is... there was this attack in New York. A guy drove a van into a bunch of pedestrians in downtown New York City. And a couple of hours after Trump had initial tweets fueled by the threat of terrorism and that tragic truck attack in Manhattan, he fired off a tweet saying the following. I have just ordered Homeland Security to step up our already extreme vetting program. Being politically correct is fine, but not for this. The vetting program is on brand for the former Celebrity Apprentice host and now U.S. president, as he's been pushing a ban on travelers, mainly from Muslim countries, entering the United States. In other news, in Japan, Sony have released their new Aibo Pet robot, which went on sale tonight. It's a little dog robot, and for Japanese people who don't want to pick up the turds and don't want to feed the animal, this is a pretty good second place winner. No word yet on whether or not it's popular, but after more than a decade of planning, Sony have finally decided to give the robot a return. The original was launched in 1999, and the follow-up is capable of forming an emotional bond with members of the household while providing them with love, affection, and the joy of nurturing and raising a companion. So how's that?
Is it capable of like randomly not digging some people?
I'm sure you can make that a part of the settings.
Make it really awkward when that one friend comes for dinner and the dog just barks and goes like...
Right. The third thing you need to know this morning is that 1 in 10 grooms in the world now take their wife's surname. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm. Is that because the wife is descended from a wealthy family?
It's sometimes the case. It certainly happened with Prince Philip, whose wife's descended from a somewhat rich family.
1 in 10?
He took her surname. And yes, 1 in 10 grooms now take their wife's surname. It could also be that the wife's family don't have any male heirs and they want to continue the surname. Whatever the reasons are. Maybe it's equality.
Or maybe just because you have a really shitty surname.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, dear, your surname's nice. I've been living with a really cuck one my whole life.
Arthur so Crapond.
Yeah. Oh. Arthur Crapond and Susie Jones.
Yeah, what if you're like Stephen Squelch?
Yeah, I'll take that.
So you actually know a person whose name is Crapond.
Yes. Story number four. The Walking Dead's latest episode on Sunday in America didn't blow anyone away and performed really poorly in the ratings, too. I predicted this. I hate to say it.
It's all on the same
show,
stage.
Man.
Yeah, very
same
poorly.
Same thing all the time.
It gave the zombie series its worst U.S. ratings in 5 years. The second episode was a little bit better, with the under 50 demographic for the night attracting 8.92 million viewers. So it's not dead, The Walking Dead, but it's hardly breaking into song and running around like it's full of life.
You could almost say it was like The Living Dead. It was like ambling around in a state of semi-animation, still dangerous, but not quite completely deceased.
Absolutely. And then finally, just suppose a stupid story, but really I've noticed this Halloween thing is a big deal in America, bigger deal every year than it's ever been the year before. People love the dressing up, and there are lots of creative costumes coming along. A lot of people are saying that the most tasteless costumes have to do with Hollywood celebrities and their controversies. So there are Harvey Weinsteins with, you know, like a blow up doll attached to the front of it. There are Caitlyn Jenners. There are.
What do they have attached to the front of them?
Nothing. They used to have something attached to the front of them, but by the time they hit the streets, there's nothing left there. And what was the other one? Kevin Spacey. Yes, Kevin Spacey with a small child.
I saw that they've halted production on House of Cards. Yeah, they've like
I said,
canned season
well,
six.
Well, they didn't say that they've like canned it and it won't be
they're
coming
not
back.
Going
they just
to
said
do.
It's on pause.
Yeah,
it's
no, they said they're not doing a season six. That's the word.
That's
and that's from Netflix, who've made a ton of money off of that show. So let's not say that there isn't principle in Hollywood.
So you never get to find out what happened. Like I lost track of that one about three seasons in, and it was cuck involved.
Mm.
They can't just stop it. Well, I mean, they can, obviously, for moral reasons, etc. But like, that's a story that kind of you really wanted to conclude. It's not one of those Days of Our Lives things that was going nowhere.
I feel bad for like all the other actors and that Robin Wright.
Belter.
Jesus. That woman is so fantastic.
She's so fine, I know.
I love her, and she's so powerful
in that
show.
She's extra fine the eviler she is. When she gets fully evil, she's like proper,
I've never
heart.
Been attracted to a made-up character like I have been to her.
Robin Wright's a real interestingly nasty people.
What do you mean nasty?
Just
look
a hot
at her.
Blonde girl.
Just nasty.
Gorgeous. Person. Mm.
She's gorgeous.
That Google search is wasted on
CNN. She's gorgeous. She's powerful. She's
51.
Machiavellian. Oh, she's 50.
Fine. She can be 50.
I
can't
mind.
Wait till she's 52.
Tell you what.
Right.
All right. Here's Ben with the latest in the sports. Those are the five things you need to know, brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. Ben, what do you have for us?
Well, Gareth, huge sports story. So let's start with the biggest one. It is Mr. Gary Player's birthday today. He's 81.
Sorry,
82.
Oh, when were you to do bridges or lunges?
Plank for player. Yes, yeah, well done. So for 82 seconds today, you get your fat ass on the floor and you plank for player.
What if I can plank for 82 seconds? I'll do this quickly while you start.
No, well, we'll all do it afterwards, Gareth.
No.
A minute and 22 seconds.
Yes. Okay, well, let me get through the sport and we'll all plank for player afterwards.
All right.
Let's focus here.
Shut up your jaw. Get on the floor. Everybody exactly. Remember what you're planking floor.
So, Mr. Gary Player, if you didn't know, he is South Africa's greatest South African, really. And has been for quite some time, probably for 82 years, actually.
Well, he single-handedly
greatest human.
He did single-handedly brought down apartheid. Do you remember?
Yes,
of course. He's our hero.
Yes.
Yep. And
he was the guy that told Neil Armstrong to reach for the stars.
He was. God, he was. Spot on. So 82 seconds of planking today, and get all your friends involved too, and then hashtag plank for player, and that's how you become one of the cool kids on social media today.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, everything after that's a bit of a second thing, but let's go with it. The Rugby World Cup 2023, World Rugby has said South Africa is the place that should host this. So they go through this very independent process where they assess all factors from stadiums, infrastructure, to ability to host an event, stadiums, all that kind of stuff. I said stadiums a couple of times because
they should
also look at the stadiums when it comes
to evaluating a thing like
we
this.
We should, Gord. And the stadiums all have over 40,000. Like, for me, it's an absolute no-brainer. Ireland aren't big enough. France have had it too many times. It has to come to South Africa. Of course, we are, well, politically very unstable, but I think they seem to have forgotten about that, which is quite nice. But then again, it's because we had a politician go there and pull the wool over their eyes and say everything will be more stable. So the great thing is about the rest of the world is they don't actually really know how shit the ANC is, because they seem very confident that this is the way forward.
Just shut up, everybody. Don't tell them.
Don't. Okay, today, for the next 14 days, because November the 15th is when the final decision is thrown out there, because now they go to a panel which then takes the recommendation and then acts on it. So for the next 2 weeks on social media, just stop. Don't tell the world how shit it is here. It'll be really great, and then we'll get the World Cup.
Do you think, perchance, there are people affiliated with the ANC who might have had the ability to purchase the non-noticing of said political instability? Can you capture a rugby world body?
Well,
I mean,
if you're in that business.
Or rather, can they capture you?
Well, maybe they could do what Sepp Blatter used to do every 4 years with the World Cup.
He'd capture a whole country.
He captured an entire country, so they could learn from him.
Figure out a way to make hosting the biggest event in the whole world like a non-profit experience.
Yeah. Terrific.
Well, of course, people are talking about the Rugby World Cup as a big boon for the economy. And if you do the stats, basically, if this goes ahead and is a massive success, the Rugby World Cup 2023 could basically return the money the Guptas have taken to Dubai in the last 4 months. So it's a very good thing for South Africa, this. It really is. Bangladesh, well, they've got into an inquiry as to why they were so cuck in South Africa. I shit you not, they're literally going to sit around and probe this horrible tour where they lost absolutely everything.
Ugh.
Everything. Ugh. They got thrashed in every single match, basically, against the Proteas. So they got a commission of inquiry to go, like, what happened?
How? They're saying they might have been captured.
No, I was thinking that they might have discovered strip clubs the first time. And booze, and then put those two together, and they weren't exactly hit in the middle of the bat. But hey, that's just my theory. Champions League action from last night. So maybe Karabakh aren't that cuck.
Oh, really?
Because again, Atletico.
Their name still is.
Atletico could not beat them at home. At home.
In their language, it might mean like place of beauty, joy, and fairness, Sears enclave of equality and peace.
Yeah, the Karabakh enclave. Well, they drew 1-1 with Atletico last night, and that means that Atletico, well, they really are just staring at the barrel of the gun here. In that group as well, Juventus, they, Sporting CP. No, that's not the same group. Anyway, Sporting drew with Juventus 1-1. Okay, it's not a great result for Juventus, but they're still very much in this whole thing. Another weird draw was Olympiacos. They drew with Barcelona 0-0. Barcelona, see, you take away Neymar, and maybe they aren't the force everyone thought they were. Everyone's going, oh, Messi's the great player. Messi's the business. But hey, they're not scoring as many goals, but PSG, well, with Neymar and a whole bunch of other overpriced stars, 5-0, they hammered Anderlecht. So they're very much going to go through. Of course they will. Man United, they beat Benfica 2-0. Good result for them.
Played CSK, awfully though.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Man United football, Gord.
We've scored 4-7 times this season. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
we average 2.5 goals a game.
Speaking into your mic, Gord.
I am speaking into my mic. It's the anger that's directed at you is deflecting away from the mic.
You've been here long enough. Let's be professionals about this.
I still can't get used to your dickery about Man United.
But Man United were playing such a weak opposition in the beginning.
No, we really...
Everyone back there was still so scared of Lukaku's giant penis because it was so well publicized.
That's very politically incorrect. I must say, though, we really weren't very good at all. And that poor young goalkeeper who carried the ball into his net last time,
yeah,
they put him back. He's 18, the Benfica keeper. He's like their second keeper, but they put him on to give him a go. He caught the ball, carried it. His momentum carried him into the goal. He scored an own goal, and that was the 1-0 result in the last game. And now this time, he tried to dive to save a Nemanja Matic long-range low shot. It hit the post and bounced into his back and back into the goal.
This is why Gord only comes once a week, because otherwise everyone else on earth is bored to death by his very specific analysis of a very particular game.
That and because chicks don't dig me.
Oh.
Moving back to the lesser teams.
No, Gord, you carry on. Really.
I thought the sport guy would be the right guy to discuss the sport with, so forgive me for making that ridiculous presumption.
We don't have all day, though.
Let's get you over with. It's a good idea, Ben.
We can get some cursory attention to such a thing. I mean, do you want to go about the penalty they did score? And how about the one that got saved?
So you watched it?
Well, cool. I do the sport. What do you think I'm doing? Picking my toenails at 6 in the morning.
You sound very interested.
Y'all are making me clutch my pearls this morning.
See, well, I admit it. You didn't care whether it was a penalty or a score from the one side.
No, but this situation.
So teams that did actually score goals, not just played cuck, as Gord was saying, was Roma. 3-0 over Chelsea. Now, over last week, the last time out of the Champions League, they drew 3-3 with Roma in a fantastic tie. But now in Roma, well, Chelsea, they're just teetering on the edge here. 3-0, that's not very good at all. But it's not going to really hurt their chances of going through, because they will be one of the top two teams in their group, I believe. Celtic, well, they got hammered by Bayern Munich last time in the German capital. But now, well, they've fared a little bit better. They missed a few shots on goal early, Gord. If you want to get into this one, they definitely squandered a few opportunities.
How was the game?
Well, Bayern Munich,
from the sport lover's perspective, was it enjoyable? Was it a good game? You know, did the scoreline reflect the actual competitiveness on the pitch?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to your in-depth analysis, because Googling the score and reading it out loud is obviously very, very taxing on you, Ben.
Is that what you genuinely believe I do?
No, I just I haven't experienced the other 23 hours of your life, but please tell us more. How was the match?
Well, Celtic got off to a decent start, but they squandered some opportunities early on. Bayern Munich, definitely with better players from every single position, well, they just kind of wore on and eventually just outlasted the Scots. But they were very, very spirited in front of a home crowd.
So the scoreline accurately reflected.
Yeah, 2-1 by Munich. I thought that was probably Celtic. You know, at the end of the day, as they say, after a game of 2 halves, they'll say, you know what, maybe this is what we deserve. Because they're never going to progress the next round.
They beat Barcelona once. It was heroic.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like white elephants and blue moons and all that kind of stuff. But tonight in the Champions League. So, if you didn't find any of that entertaining, well, you can watch the games yourself. This is the great thing about sport. Anyone can get involved. So, we'll be able to see Real Madrid tonight. They'll take on Spurs in Wembley Stadium. Harry Kane, doubtful for this one, but he has returned to training. So, basically, Spurs have to have Kane playing, otherwise they lose. As happened against Gord's team, Man United, over the weekend. How about that, Gord? Mm. The Besiktas will take on Monaco. This will be the first game of the night at 7 o'clock. Besiktas from Turkey. Monaco, a struggling French team at the moment. Sevilla will take on Spartak Moscow, 9:45. Shakhtar Donetsk will take on Feyenoord. Borussia Dortmund will take on Apul. Napoli versus Man City. Man City just scoring so many goals. They're even better than Gord's team, which is Man United.
Currently quite a lot better, I think, than anyone, which hurts me to say.
Well, especially against your team. I think even though that your team is second on the Premier League, Man City are very much first and better, and they will win the league.
We haven't actually played them, so we can't really comment on how they are against my team.
Which is convenient for your team, because I think they will take a dicking. Liverpool, they'll take on Maribor.
There's a lot of passive-aggressive shit going on here.
Liverpool's like, ha, so what, you're the second best team. Take that, Gord. Like, okay. Who do you support, Ben? I'm sure I've asked you this before, but I forgot because they were insignificant. What was the answer?
I love this. This is the fun that sport delivers.
Wow, he rolled up his sleeves with that comment. Gord, I support Arsenal.
Oh, I'm sorry, I know. Yes.
Essentially the fifth or sixth best team.
Like I do with everything to do with Arsenal, I just forgot about that.
Yeah, it's just quite smug from someone who just in the Europa League last year.
And won it, sorry to say. How are you guys doing?
Well, they're on course to win it.
It's going to be very interesting to see if they can pull that off.
Well,
they'll bottle it. They'll pull a Proteas in the semi-final.
And Porto will take on Leipzig. There we go, Leipzig fans. There's your big night. Quarter to 10. So that pretty much wraps up for your sport today. This is a big week for rugby, because now the end of season, end of year tour takes place. So all the big teams are getting cracking on international-wise. Barbarians versus New Zealand. That is the big first one this weekend. And then the Box will take on Ireland next weekend. So there'll be 4 weeks of just Bock rugby flat out. Cricket-wise, Gord, not a lot's happening. Basically, Proteas are getting ready for the might of Zimbabwe.
So another Titanic clash then.
Yeah. But I'll be sure to give you in-depth ball by ball in that.
Thank you.
Before we go to Set
kind.
By Sia this morning, have you got any new tattoos lately?
No, I haven't had anything.
When was
recently?
The last time you had anything done?
Probably getting to about 6 months now.
Okay.
I'm trying to reshape the canvas.
Okay, right. I got you.
Drawing on a balloon, so.
Have you noticed it? Since you're reshaping the canvas, because you have lost some weight.
Thanks, man.
Do any of your tattoos shrink and become very deformed and strange?
No, they don't get deformed and strange, but they do they do change in the color density and color intensity changes. Mm. The smaller the smaller the area that the color and the ink's packed into, obviously the more. Yeah, they do obviously change shape with your body.
Okay, so, yeah. But not like
the ones with facial detail.
You didn't have a person who suddenly became a rabbit because you became thinner.
Not yet. Well, it's interesting to see, because since I was last thin, I got quite a lot of tattoos. So why don't you, after the show, you can read the whole of me?
No, I think I'll pass that duty on.
Does that mean
you are getting your
clothes
Harvey
off?
Weinstein on?
And then you can reread me later.
Yeah, why do you ask for a massage while you're at it, Harvey?
That's a real Harvey Weinstein.
I need you to come and read my tattoos, baby.
Here are a couple of comments. Gord and Ben's power struggle is hilarious. Hey, guys, do you think the people of Orania had that enclave idea when they formed that? Just playing a little devil's advocate to this idea. Well, probably. They're doing season 6 of House of Cards. They're busy shooting it right now. But they won't be doing another season after that, according to somebody here on the lists. Gord is in time this morning. Isn't that on time this morning? Isn't that great?
Thanks for noticing.
Well noted.
And here's a comment that I'm very, very appreciative of from Riette in Cape Town. She says, yesterday's podcast with Dov, thank you so much for that. I listened to it twice. That courageous man. This generation should take note of the upright survival spirit of older people who managed to survive things like he did. It's a Holocaust survivor, Dov Landau, who we interviewed yesterday. And if you did miss it for whatever reason, it's worth a listen. He's sometimes, because he's got a Polish accent, he spoke 5 languages and managed to build himself a life after the Holocaust in Israel. And he's in South Africa for the first time. It's the first time he's ever done an interview in audio. And there have been books based on his life, even movie screenplays that have been based on his life. But this is the first time he's told his story himself. If you listen to it, I fail to imagine what kind of a person wouldn't be moved by hearing his story. At the age of 14, he was taken to Auschwitz-Birkenau. And his father was taken in with him. His mother and 3 brothers were already dead. By the time that happened, they had been taken straight to, I think, Belsen and gassed. And he and his dad were together for a short while there in the coal mines and breaking rocks and that kind of thing. And then eventually they came and got his dad because his legs started to get weak, and they just took his dad off to the crematorium. And he was the only one who survived in his whole family. And you've never met anyone with a more positive, generous spirit. All he could do was smile, embrace people, shake hands, tell everybody how they were his friend. For someone who's been through all of that, that shows you the triumph of the human spirit and that will to live, which you must never underestimate. So it's worth, if you need a pick-me-up, if you're feeling particularly sorry for yourself this morning, it might be worth taking a listen to that story and thinking about other people and what humanity has done to survive insurmountable odds in the past. Gareth, the Netflix thing is a total virtue signaling move. Ashley says this. They decided to cancel House of Cards 3 or 4 months ago, but they announced it in the moment Kevin Spacey's allegations came out. I didn't know that. If that's true, that's particularly onerous and disgusting of them. Greg says, well done, Gord. Man U for life, brother. Ben supports Arsenal, so ask him when he's playing in the Champions League.
Yeah, but see, I always have a life. You guys only support Man United. That's it.
Can't expect everyone to be into the sports, Ben.
Graham says, I see Nikolaus Bauer is in cuck for spreading fake, outdated images of the old South African flag.
That guy. Would someone give that guy a hug?
Says, ha, ha, ha. What a beta male.
And by that, you're like B-E-T-A as opposed to B-E-A-T-E-R.
Yeah, B-E-T-A. Yeah, apparently Shia LaBeouf is also something worth talking about. Shia LaBeouf, the Transformer dude, has been turbo-trolled by 4chan. We could talk about that later on, too. I actually read a story about this just the other day. But to end this discussion on the Nikolaus Bauer story, he posted a whole bunch of tweets and Instagram posts about how the Black Monday marches were carrying around old South African flags. Mm-hmm. Turns out there wasn't any such thing going on.
Weren't they?
No.
Not even isolated incidents. All bullshit.
And this guy was putting up pictures, as were other people on social media, of old events, Sunet Bridges events that happened about a year and a half ago, and representing them as being part of Black Monday, which is spreading fake news. Now, if you're a journalist and you do that, you should be taken out of the profession. You should be immediately disqualified from being involved in anything to do with news from that point on. Because what you're doing is nothing short of what Bell Pottinger did just a couple of months ago. That is all you're doing.
It's like one person thinks the stupid shit is funny or clever or useful or whatever, and then the amount of
It's driving an agenda.
Exactly.
This is sowing discord on purpose. And I can't believe that someone who has a job at a professional news organization would do this. So he should be roundly disqualified from any kind of participation in news, and he should be verbally abused by people for it too.
The people seeing that and being right, and under the pretense of believing that it's real, being rightfully outraged, are not then going to also, with the same fervor, share the news headline a couple days later. Oh, it wasn't real.
Exactly. So the damage is done, and you cannot pull it back.
Assholery.
But I guess it's like a drug. I mean, if you become addicted to looking for work likes in life, like Nick does,
yes.
I mean, you don't know where to stop. So. It's like any other disorder.
So there you are. You've been revealed for the paper-thin woke acolyte that you are. And we've had enough of you.
I wonder how ENC is actually going to deal with this, because they just tweeted and they just said they'll deal with it internally.
Yeah, they've got a pinned tweet on their Twitter at the moment. Mm-hmm. Let me see this, because I actually found it yesterday.
They admitted that it was incorrect.
Nicholas Bauer incorrectly posted an old photo in a Black Monday tweet. It has been removed. ENCA is dealing with the matter internally. Look, the damage is done. So I don't know what they're going to do. Anyway, CR, you got to lift this up this morning. That's your job. Come on, give us something to be lifted by.
Oh, I feel like that's a gospel song waiting to be written. Lift me up. Anyway, moving on.
Right.
Here's something I never thought I'd say. Russell Brand actually has some wise words that have inspired Sid by Sia this morning.
Oh, he's sometimes very smart, Russell Brand.
Especially after his whole recovery and after the booze situation.
Yeah.
So the acting comedian has created a revised 12-step program. You know, of course, we know the 12-step program, which was originally conceived by the founders of AA back in like 1935. And some of those points say, like, you know, addicts have to admit they are powerless over their addiction and their lives had become unmanageable.
Yeah, look, let's just say that this 12-step program has helped a lot of people to turn their lives around. But I do think it probably needs a little revision. No one's questioned the 10 commandments, the 12 commandments.
The 10 commandments and the 12-step program. In my opinion, I think it's just riddled with making someone who already is going through a tough time as an addict have to feel even worse about themselves, because you have to confess that you're bad. And back in the original copy, you now have to ask for forgiveness to God. Like, geez.
So what does Russell Brand
say? You don't need that.
Higher power, they say. Higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like Gary says, that's help a whole lot of people.
So Russell Brand has now rewritten the 12-step program. You know, he's one person who's battled addiction, and he now has a new book. It's called Recovery, Freedom from Our Addictions, in which he states that the 12 steps can actually help everyone, not just, you know, drugs and junkies. And not that we now have to be present at different AA meetings in order to use these, or even just to benefit from their principles. You know, so Russell says, I believe we live in an age of addiction where addictive thinking has become almost totally immersive. It's this mode of our culture, the very idea that you can somehow make your life all right by attaining primitive material goals, getting the ideal relationship, the ideal job, a beautiful rug, you know, wads of cash, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. The underlining idea of, if I could just get X, Y, Z, I would be okay, is consistent, and it is quite wrong. So I think, you know, it's quite a tough pill to swallow, but it may be true that we are all addicts to something out there to some extent, and that our culture actually condones this. So with that said, here's Russell Brand's new revised list of 12 steps that he thinks we can learn from and benefit from, okay? Number one, he says, are you a bit screwed up? Number two, could you not be screwed up? In any sort of way, shape, or form, I think we all can answer those. Number three, he says, are you on your own going to unscrew yourself? Well, probably not. So number four, he then suggests write down all the things that are screwing you up or have ever screwed you up and don't leave anything out. Number five, he says, honestly, tell someone trustworthy and about how screwed up you are. Number six, he says, well, that's revealed a lot of screwed up patterns. Do you want to stop it? Seriously? Number seven, are you willing to live in a new way that's not all about you and your previous screwed up stuff? Well, you have to. Number eight, he says, prepare to apologize to everyone for everything affected by you being so screwed up. Number nine, he says, well, now apologize, unless that would actually make things worse. Number 10, Russell suggests, watch out for screwed up thinking and behavior and be honest when it happens. And number 11, stay connected to your new perspective. And then finally, in Russell Brand's new revised list of the 12-step program, he says, look at life less selfishly. Be nice to everyone and help people if you can. So in the book, I really do think I'd like to get my hands on it. He says, if you're addicted to bad relationships or bad food or abusive bosses or conflict or even pornography, it can take a lifetime to spot the problem. And apparently, a lifetime is all we have. This book is not just about extremists like me. No, this book is about you. Hmm. So there we go. Get some sort of, you know, get on the train of recovery. All brought to you by Russell Brand.
I love Russell Brand. His previous book, Revolution, which was about, like, you know, current world power and those sort of systems and how they should be possibly.
Did you read it?
I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly insightful, surprisingly well researched.
He's very eloquent and he's cohesive and coherent much of the time, but he does, in speaking, he sometimes sounds like he just will never run out of words, and it can be exhausting to listen to him for more than 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. But I do hear
you. I've heard of people like that.
He's smart.
But it's really enjoyable listening to him read his own book. So if you are into audiobooks, having just read his previous one, Revolution, I can thoroughly recommend getting the audio. I'm sure reading the book itself is lovely, but hearing him read himself is very entertaining, very funny.
Very good.
Humble as well.
All right. Well, good for Russell Brand. I like him. He's one of those guys who's, you know, he's been through a couple of experiences that most people don't get to experience. I mean, banging Katy Perry among them. But he's really lived an interesting life up to now. And the guy is by no means a slouch when it comes to thinking things through. And he has very particular views about government, about drugs, about general consciousness, and spreading around a little positivity. I think he would be very pleased that you put him into Sid by Sia today, among other things. Thank you, Sia. There we go. There's a look at that. Are you ready to start your day? Because when we come back, we'll check in with all our might to the Henry von Breda situation. Mm. Find out what's going on over there. He gave testimony yesterday, and everybody's interested to know what he had to say and what exactly it'll mean.
Is Breda an ex-Madra?
I can't go on to it.
I'm going home.
No, stay here. We need you for the Henry von Breda stuff. All right, let's go. 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com, Wednesday morning.
This is cliffcentral.com.